This is the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We're back live. Last night, another significant development in a federal corruption investigation into electric utility ComEd and the highest levels of Illinois government. Federal prosecutors are charging former executives and lobbyists for the company with conspiring to influence a state of Illinois official. Though he's not named, that official is understood to be longtime Illinois House Speaker Michael Madigan. Joining us for a brief update on the charges is a reporter who's been part of a team breaking stories on this case for more than a year. Tony Arnold covers state politics for Chicago NPR station WBEZ. Hey, Tony, how's it going?
Hey, Brian. Thanks for having me. Good to be here.
Thanks for being here. Let's start with the basics. Who was charged? What were they charged with?
Four people were charged last night by the federal prosecutors in Chicago. They are not household names, but make no mistake, they're very powerful and influential people. One of the four is the former chief executive of Commonwealth Edison, the power company that supplies electricity all over Chicago. Ann Promajor is her name. In addition, three former ComEd lobbyists were also indicted. They include a former in-house lobbyist at ComEd, and then two other people. One other notable name is Michael McLean. He's notable because, A, he was a very influential lobbyist in Springfield for decades. And the part of the reason why he was so influential is because of his friendship and advisory role, really, in proximity to House Speaker Michael Madigan, who's been House Speaker for all but 2 years since 1983, the longest of any House Speaker ever of any chamber anywhere in the United States.
And McLean goes back even before that time, which is not something you can say about a lot of people in Springfield.
Yeah, he was a state representative. He represented the Quincy area along the Mississippi River until he lost the election and then became a lobbyist and had some of the biggest clients that you could have as a lobbyist in Springfield. And ComEd was among them.
Can you remind us about ComEd itself? They were already charged in this case and agreed to pay a massive fine, right?
Well, ComEd agreed to basically defer prosecution, basically saying, we agree that we engaged as a company in a scheme to bribe Madigan in attempt to get favorable legislation passed. And part of that bribe was to give contracts and payments to associates of Madigan to give a board appointment to a person who Madigan wanted, to retain a law firm that Madigan wanted, to have an internship program and give out internships to people that Madigan wanted. As part of that, admitting to that scheme and deferring any kind of prosecution, they have to basically engage in lots of new regulations and pay what's believed to be the highest penalty of any company in at least this part of the state ever, $200 million. That's a significant fee for a company like ComEd, even though ComEd is a giant, giant company. In fact, my colleagues have even done reporting that it might have, while it's a high number, it might actually be fairly low as far as the costs that have ended up being passed on to consumers as a result of some of this legislation.
Yeah, and we're going to continue to see if there's continued fallout from that as we hear public interest groups and others sniffing around this issue as well. You mentioned in your description there, you know, ComEd said it would do this for Madigan, it would do that for Madigan, and you're very plain spoken about that. The indictment refers to a public official A, and in the weird dance that federal prosecutors do, they won't actually acknowledge by name who that is. But, I mean, it's pretty clear. There's not any question that this is about Speaker Madigan, right?
There's no question, and in fact, Madigan does not deny that he is public official A in these documents. Madigan does deny wrongdoing, and he's not been charged. Federal prosecutors have not charged him with any crime. But now this public official A is what I would call a formality, I suppose, because he's not being accused of wrongdoing here. It's the people around him who are being accused of wrongdoing. And what's noteworthy to me in this indictment that came out last night is that you have people acting on Madigan's behalf in this indictment. This is all allegations, and I should note that all four of the people charged yesterday have denied wrongdoing. They haven't entered pleas yet. They haven't appeared in front of a judge, but they're all saying that they're not guilty. And they're acting on Madigan's behalf. But what's not clear in this indictment is Madigan directing them to act in this way on his behalf. And this morning we received a statement from the speaker. It's a very long statement in which he says he's never directed any of this behavior. And in fact, he's never asked for anything in return other than just, you know, being, and that it's not a crime to ask people, to recommend people for jobs. And so that's, the speaker has repeated that before, and this statement just reiterates that perspective.
You know, there is a line of thinking out there, and you've articulated it just now, that he's such a careful operator. It's unlikely there's going to be, or at least most people I've talked to, think it's unlikely there will be a phone wiretap like there was on, say, former Governor Rod Blagojevich, where the speaker is saying, you better give my lackey a job or I'm going to hold up your legislation. But even if he manages to escape criminal consequences for what's alleged here, he is facing a political test unlike anything since he first became speaker in 1983, right?
He is. There are calls for him to step aside as speaker, in addition for him to step aside as chairman of the Democratic Party of Illinois, which is a very influential position for electing Democrats across the state. You think of Illinois as being a very blue state. Democrats have super majorities in the state house and the state senate. Madigan's at the top of the party. He's won elections for the party. So these calls for him to step aside are significant and they are growing. Three more lawmakers this morning, Democratic lawmakers this morning, have said that they will not support him should he run for speaker again in January, when the new class that of people who just won election in November are inaugurated. And those three people, if you add them up to the other people who have already said that they wouldn't support Madigan for speaker, you're looking now at a real threshold here that's being crossed of Democratic support failing Madigan for re-election as speaker.
Because he needs 60 votes in the House to
A state representative needs 60 votes to be elected speaker. It's not a majority. You need 60 votes. And so that means that Madigan now might not have that 60 votes. We're still 2 months away from inauguration. A lot can happen. But as of today, that threshold is looking pretty shaky, that he's going to get that. And we might be looking at a scenario where there's a new speaker of the Illinois House of Representatives come January, even with Madigan having won re-election, potentially being a member still.
Yeah, and no clear successor out there, though. You can't run against something with nothing. There have been House races in the past for speaker where it's gone to ballot after ballot after ballot. Go ahead, Tony.
I couldn't overstate the power vacuum that would be created should he not be the Speaker of the House. I just couldn't overstate it. There's no clear successor because Madigan has not allowed there to be an heir apparent, because he holds that power.
So just briefly, last question, returning to the case, what are we watching for next?
What's next?
The arraignments, the pandemic, I imagine, is slowing down court proceedings in federal court as it has in state court.
This got a little quiet before the election, which isn't unusual. The Department of Justice has an internal policy where they tend not to indict, not always, but they tend not to bring indictments shortly before an election. That was not the case in 2019 when a powerful Chicago alderman was indicted shortly before the mayor's election. But so it got a little quiet, and now it seems like they are back with this very significant indictment, and we are being told that this case is not done. And whether that means there are more charges to be brought against more people, I don't know. But I think that there's still some, and I think that there's still some questions for ComEd to address, in addition to this power fight that's going on over who should take the reins of the Democratic Party and who should be the next House Speaker. I think that there's all sorts of new things to come still, both in court, in the State House, and in terms of what kind of a hold the Democrats will continue to have on Illinois politics.
Well, I will continue to be following your coverage and that of your colleagues. Tony Arnold is a politics reporter at WBEZ. He has been breaking stories with his colleagues on this ComEd scandal for more than a year now. Tony, thanks so much for being with us today on the 21st.
My pleasure. Thanks, Brian.